Hare Krishna, welcome. Good to see you all. Tonight, we're going to continue. Yes. Tonight, we're going to continue with Chapter 1 of Majjhalila of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And tonight we will cover verses 182 to 206. So if you have any questions, any comments as we go, then you can ask. So text number 182. After returning to his residence, Dabir Khas and his brother decided, after much consideration, to go see the Lord incognito. So you might remember from last week and in the previous weeks that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is now on his pilgrimage. So he's now traveling, attempting to go to Vrindavan for the second time. After he took sannyas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately began to head to Vrindavan, but he was interrupted in his travels by Nityananda Prabhu and the devotees of Mayapur and Mother Sachi. And they specifically requested him to go to Jagannath Puri. So he went to Puri. And then it describes that he traveled for around 2 years through South India. Then he comes back to Puri, and now this is his second attempt. So he's heading up towards Bengal. And he's heading to Vrindavan, but on this particular occasion, he only gets as far as Ramkeli. He doesn't go to Vrindavan on this occasion. So it would appear Kanai Natashala, he goes there. That's as far as he travels, and then he turns, and then he goes towards Ramkeli. It appears on this trip, the main purpose of this trip was that he was to meet Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. Seems like that was the main purpose, because he doesn't get to Vrindavan on this trip. He turns back and then he goes to Puri. So this in many ways shows the importance and significance of Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis, because Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami are his principal disciples or followers. And the most significant books, which we have in our Gaudiya tradition coming from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, are written by Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself did not write a lot, right? The Shikshastika is attributed to him. Jagannath Ashtika is attributed to him. It said there's only a few things which are attributed to directly to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So there's not a lot there that we would directly say. And it's significant because we see that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was not writing, but rather he was instructing his followers. And then they would write. And then their writings became significant. Everything they wrote was based upon the teachings they received from him. If we look in Christianity, which is one of the other significant or primary religions on the planet, we see that Jesus himself doesn't write. You know, there's nothing attributed directly to Jesus. He spoke, but his apostles or disciples, they wrote everything down. They wrote his teachings down. So it's similar in this situation, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not directly write, but Rupa and Sanatan and others, they wrote. Jiva Goswami, they wrote. So it's significant that he goes to visit them specifically, because they become his principal disciples. Sanatan Goswami writes the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which is said to be the seminal work, or the the principal work which all the Goswamis base their writings upon. Right? The Brihat Bhagavatamrita is, you know, full of the philosophy which then the Goswamis expound upon in their other books. And then Rupa Goswami writes many books. Sanat Goswami writes many books as well. Rupa Goswami writes the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which we now have as the Nectar of Devotion. Prabhupada summarizes the summary study. And other significant books. Now, the Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada said that's one of the four primary books in ISKCON that we should study. And he said just like this table, which, you know, we're resting upon, this table has four legs. The Prabhupada said, okay, four books are like the pillars of ISKCON. So we have Bhagavad Gita as it is, Srimad Bhagavatam, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, which then Prabhupada then completed the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So you can say Chaitanya Charitamrita, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And Nectar of Devotion, which is the summary study of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So these are the significant books, right? So these are the books that we study in the in our tradition, right? And the Chaitanya Charitamrita describes that Lord Chaitanya goes to meet Rupa and Sanatan. Why is he meeting them? Because by meeting them, Rupa and Sanatan, then he can later, not at this point so much, but later, he will instruct them and they will become like his principal scribes or followers. They will write the books, which then become the mainstay of our philosophy or the pillars of our philosophy. So later on, he meets Rupa Goswami again. When he does go to Vrindavan, on the way to Vrindavan and then on the way back, he meets Rupa and Sanatan. So he meets Rupa Goswami at Alalabad, Prayag, at the Dashrameda Ghat on the bank of the Ganga, and instructs him for 10 days. And those instructions for those 10 days then become the basis of Rupa Goswami's writings, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Ujjwala Nilamani, and all the other books that he wrote. And then you have, he also met Sanatan Goswami at Benares, Varanasi. He meets him there. And he instructs him for 30 days. And these teachings, later in the Majjalila, these teachings will be discussed at length. There are a couple of chapters for Rupa Goswami's teachings, the teachings that Rupa Goswami received from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Sanatan Goswami, there's about four or five chapters, where we hear Sanatan Shiksha, when Lord Chaitanya instructed him. So all of our philosophy, the Gaudiya philosophy, is based upon what he taught to Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Goswami is known as the Sambandha Acharya. Rupa Goswami is known as the Abhideya Acharya. And then Raghunath Das Goswami is known as the Prayojana Acharya. So their teachings are the basis of our philosophy. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's traveling to meet them. So now we're about to hear about the meeting when he goes up and he meets them. Up until now, they'd only written to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They wrote to him. They hadn't actually met him. You know, it's amazing. It's not dissimilar to our situation in some ways because, you know, we never met Prabhupada. You know, Prabhupada was here. Like Prabhupada, he probably came in this room. You know, he would have walked in here. You know, he walked up there. He walked up and down the corridor, use the bathroom there. He'd take massage in the temp Anigrupa's office. He slept in this, what we call the thing they use it now. Jagannath goes up there for after Snan Yatra. Up in that room, Prabhupada slept in there. He didn't actually sleep in this room. He slept in the room, but his bed's in there. So, you know, when Prabhupada walked in there the first time, up in his room, his eyes, he said, "Is this for me?" is this all for me? Like an innocent, like a child. Say, is this all for me? I say, yes, Prabhupada, this is for you. So we didn't meet Prabhupada. You know, there's no direct meeting. Like when Prabhupada was walking around here, I would have only been like 7 years old or something. You know, and some of you would not have been born when Prabhupada was walking around here. All of you born after 77 or anyone born before 1977? 36. Okay, so you would have only been like 1 year old when Prabhupada was on the planet. Six? Yeah, so you guys are 1 year old. You guys weren't even born. You know, I was like 7 years old. Prabhupada's walking around up here. So we never met him. You know, we didn't directly see him. But we've dedicated our life to him. You know, we would die for Prabhupada. You know, we'd do anything for Prabhupada. You know, so the same way, they never met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but they were already fully devoted to him. And then finally they met him. He comes. Travels all the way to see Rupa and Sanatan. So we'll hear about them now as we go through. Their names are, at this point in time, are Dabir Khas and Sakir Malik. So they are working in the government of Nawab Hussein Shah. We were discussing this last week. They were staying in Ramkeli, which is north of the state. They were governing the whole state, but they were hiding in the sense they were still governing the state, but they were living in Ramkeli with Brahmanas, and all day they were studying Bhagavatam. And they would just tell, you know, their officers, they'd just say, oh, go and do this, go and do that. So they'd travel down south, do everything. But then Nawab Hussein Shah heard they were just studying Bhagavatam all the time. He wasn't very happy. So he came up there, you know, to see them. And he told them, you know, this is not good. He threw Sanatan in jail. You know. So one of them was the prime minister. The other one was the treasurer of the government. So it's very high positions. You know, it's the equivalent now of being like the premier of Victoria. And the treasurer, these are high positions, you know. So they had those kind of positions. They were so powerful. But they were forced to work in the government of Hussein Shah because he threatened, he said, if you don't work for me, because they were Hindus, you know. Well, they're the Vaishnavas, but, you know, we say Hindu. We say Vaishnava, but, you know, people call Hindu. So he said to them, if you don't work for me, I'll kill all the Brahmanas. You know, I'll start killing Brahmanas. But they didn't have a choice. You know, they had to work for... And then they considered, because back then, it was considered that, you know, even if a Muslim poured water from his pot on your body, then you were no longer a Hindu. You know, just, it's like now, like, you know, imagine you, like Balaban just got back from Jagannath Puri. There's many Muslim people. Yeah, many Muslim. And you touch them, you know, as you're going through the crowd. So even back then, if you even touched a Muslim, you weren't a Hindu anymore, which is ridiculous. It's like, you know, yeah, Balaban's been a Puri. Did you touch some of the Muslims? He was like, okay, now you have to leave. Well, no, you're no longer, you know, it's ridiculous. Yeah, but that was their philosophy. You know, their philosophy was like that. So they were considered to be outcasts. They were considered not to be Hindus anymore. They were Muslims. So, yeah, and they looked like Muslims. It describes they must have grown their, maybe their beards and things. And so they're like, and they had Muslim names. They had to act like Muslims. You know, they ate prasad. They were vegetarian. They ate prasad, but the Muslims don't. You know, so they're around this all the time. And this is significant. We'll hear more about this tonight. It's significant, actually, because we also get into those situations. Sometimes we're separated from devotees, and, you know, so their consciousness was not affected. one thing we have to understand is historically, and it's very important while we're studying the Chaitanya Charitamrita, because the Chaitanya Charitamrita is a historical account of our tradition. You know, it's going back 500 years. You know, we're hearing about what it was like 500 years ago when that happened. You know, Maharaj Prataparuja was carrying a sword going into battle. You know, I would much prefer the world to be like that now instead of the way it is now. It's all, you know, we don't fight wars properly anymore. Not real kshatriyas anymore. It's not decided on actual prowess anymore. It's all different. The server gets the most votes. That's why Prabhupada called it demon crazy. You know, yeah, like Donald Trump becomes the president. It's like, yeah, it's not a very good system. So we're hearing about the history. So one thing which is very significant, which we have to understand, there was always turmoil, there was always challenges historically in our tradition. It wasn't easy. We have to understand this. Right now is probably the easiest it's ever been. Like right now, literally. Because you look at the devotees who started this movement and this temple in Australia in the 70s. Very little facility. Look now, like, you know, we had the program for Prana Prabhu last night, and you know, unfortunately, because I had service on a farm, I got there a bit late. I'll always regret, you know, that for the rest of my life. You know, I wanted to be there for the program, but you know, we had service at the farm, and then you know, I got there, but then. One thing that struck me, several things struck me, but one of the things that struck me was like the amount of prasadam, you know, in honor of Prana Prabhu. So like so much prasadam. It wasn't like that in the 1970s. And devotees weren't surrounded by this opulence. And, you know, when they had the temple in St. Kilda before they moved here, they only had cold water. And I don't think the tap coming out of the wall even had a head on it. This was like a spout of water coming out. 4 o'clock in the morning in winter. And it was colder back then. Not as cold now. Winter isn't as cold as it was in the 1970s. You know, it was just like cold water coming out of it. You know, it was austerity. And sometimes for breakfast, I was told sometimes they just had a... It was like halva, but I don't know if there was butter. It was more like just water. So just like, kind of like boiled semolina with like orange peel or lemon peel in it. You know, which is very simple. Sometimes that was their prasad. That was their meal. It's not like now. And now we get upset. We go upset. Oh. You know, oh. Where's the paneer? We're the pagoras. It's very different. So probably right now is the easiest it's ever been. Probably historically in our movement ever. Like I'm talking back to Lord Chaitanya's time 500 years ago. Because when Lord Chaitanya was here, there was Muslim exploitation and rule, and it was dangerous. You know, these Muslims would kill you. Yeah, they would kill you. Yeah, they had swords and it was a dangerous place. You know, we don't have that now. Like, we don't feel danger. You know, I feel like the government's going to come here and attack us or, you know, it was like that previously. And then in the 1970s, you know, someone, when we brought this temple, when we first moved here the first year or so, someone shot a gun through the window in the upstairs of the prasadam hall. That was the Brahmachari ashram. You know, 4 o'clock in the morning, someone shot a bullet through the window. Yeah, can you imagine? You know, the window smashed. Yeah, it was like dangerous time. Yeah. So we have to understand what it took to get the movement from then till now, all through the centuries. You know, Baladev Vijayabhushan, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the Goswamis, And then Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but Bhakti, you know, there was opposition. Srila Prabhupada, there was opposition. It's kind of now it's the most easiest it's been. I mean, there are countries in the world where the devotees are doing austerity, and but really, I mean, Australian devotees, like, it's just, it's kind of like swagger. You know, we live in swagger, and then, you know, we might get upset and there's not enough paneer or something, but besides that, that's about the austerity. So we should appreciate historically what it took to keep the movement intact. You know, Narottama and Srinivas and Shamananda, you know, when they had to take the Goswami writings and then they were stolen. Imagine. You know, it was back then you had to handwrite everything. Imagine, you know, it was all handwritten. They had copies in Vrindavan. They were taking it to Bengal for the to spread the movement. And it was all taken. You know, imagine how they would have felt. You know, and they got it back and, you know, by their potency. But, you know, there was great difficulty. This is what the movement was like. So, we'll hear more. Thus, in the dead of night, the two brothers, Dapir Kas and Sakara Malik, went to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu incognito. First, they met Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur. So they met Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur. What's the system? Shishi Guru Goranga Jayate. Guru then Goranga. Who's Guru? Nityananda Prabhu. Shishi Guru Goranga. All glories to Guru and Goranga. Right? You don't go directly to Goranga. You only go through Nityananda Prabhu and his representatives. That's our tradition. That's our philosophy. There are pastimes. You know, I think with Ramachandra Kaviraj and different devotees, Rasikananda, you know, it's different. There's pastimes where they have to go through the parampara to receive Nityananda Prabhu's mercy. That's our system. Our system is we go through Guru Parampara. Right? We worship our gurus, which then takes us to Prabhupada, who then passes us back through disciplic succession, back to the Panchatattva, back to Nityananda Prabhu, who then, if he's merciful to us, will then, there's one pastime where he takes the devotee, Nityananda Prabhu grabs him at the back of the neck and puts his head on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet, Goranga's feet. That's the benediction of being a pujari. You know, I had the good fortune in the past. I used to bathe Gaudiya Thai, you know, in the morning after Mangalati, then the door shut. So I used to bathe Gaudiya Thai, you know, for a number of years. You know, we had that service, and then, you know, first thing we do, the doors would shut, and then we would go, and we'd put our feet on the head of Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's the system. If you don't put the head on the feet of Nityananda Prabhu, you can't get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Only by his mercy you can put your head on the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then once you have the mercy of the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then Radha Krishna is revealed. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reveals Radha Krishna to you. That's the system. It's our tradition. So here they go to Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu. They don't go to Lord Chaitanya directly. Neophyte devotees do this. You see, when the guru comes sometimes, all the disciples fight to serve the guru. I've even seen devotees step over other devotees. It says, Vaishnava etiquette, we're taught, you don't never step over a devotee. Like if you go into the temple room and it's crowded, you know, you put your hand down in front of your feet and you know, ask the devotees, please move. And then, you know, they move their leg and then you walk through. You don't step over devotees. I've seen devotees do it to serve the guru. They just step over the devotees. Okay, so you're serving guru, but you're committing aparad to the devotees. So how does that please guru? How's the guru pleased by them? So that is the system. The system is we have to approach nicely. So they went. They didn't go straight to Gauranga. They went to Nityananda Prabhu, to the guru. Sri Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that two personalities, Sri Rupa and Sanatan, had come to see him. In great humility, both brothers took bunches of straw between their teeth and, each binding a cloth around his neck, fell down like rods before the Lord. So, Nityananda Prabhu, told Lord Chaitanya that they had arrived to see him. It's not described here at this point, but it is described that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I mentioned this last week, he didn't do a jagya, a fire sacrifice. He just gave them beads and he gave them their name, he initiated them. In our Gaudiya tradition, right, in ISKCON even, we don't have to do jagya. It's not necessary. Right? Guru can just give you the beads and give you the name, Diksha, and give you Gayatri Mantra. He gave them the names, Rupa and Sanata. Not described here, but there's the system. We do the jagya because the jagya creates a samskara. It's like when in Vedic system or in Hinduism, you know, marriage is a big thing. You know, you all know. You know, you all did it. You know, it's a big thing, the marriage. You know, it goes, how long are you guys? How many days? Anyone more than one? Three? Three? Yeah, it's a three-day thing. So I've been in Vrindavan. I've seen people. One time I was at Radha Raman Temple in Vrindavan. You must have been to Radha Raman Temple. So we were there taking darshan, and then one wedding came in. You know, so they had the guy, the groom, and he had his turban on. He, you know, he's walking. And he's kind of walking. It looked a little bit like a mummy. You know, like, you know, a mummy. You know, like a. The way he walked in, there was not, for me, I was just observing, but to me, there was no life left. Because, I don't know, maybe he's on day 3 or 5 or 7. He was just kind of like, I'm just walking him in and putting, now do this, now do that, now do this, now do that. You know, everyone, you know, right. But, you know, and then, it, you know, so that's why we do jagya when we get initiated, because it's like a big thing. You remember it. Like, you never forget your weddings. You know, day 3, you're all thinking like, you know, I love this girl. Just let me go home. Enough. I don't need all the, oh, my God. You know, and then you see another priest coming. You think, oh, my God. You know, what's he going to do, this one? Yeah. So it goes, oh, my boy, it leaves a samskara impression. This is serious. You can't just walk out. Sometimes you want to. Or sometimes the wife wants to leave. She probably said it to you a few times. Yeah. I'm leaving. I'm going. You're smiling, so I don't know. Maybe you know. My wife's told me a few times. So, yeah, she tells me, yeah, I'm going. One time she even got in the car and drove. She came back. Like that. But sometimes, you know, the husband might feel like that, the wife might feel like that. It's a serious thing. But it's not you just break. That's why we have the jagya. You know, when we have the initiation, we, you know, we make it a big thing. Why? Samskara with the impression. This is serious, like a marriage. You don't just walk out. That's why in ISKCON, we shouldn't push the devotees to take initiation too quickly. Sometimes it happens like that. Too much like pressure. You go, come on, Prabhu, come on. Big initiation, come on. That happens. Too much like, don't pressure them. Okay, too long is not good either. Shouldn't be too long, but it shouldn't be too quick either. You know, take your time. You know, I got first initiation after 1 year. You know, I met my guru, then 1 year later he gave me initiation. But then second initiation, he made me wait 3 years. And I saw the other gurus. They were initiating the, you know, 1 year, they would give first, and next year, second. So I just thought that, I didn't know, I thought that was the, so, you know, I went to see him. And then Anuruddha Prabhu said, oh, you know, Keshava, can he get initiation? And he became, like, angry. He said, we'll see about that. Because he wanted me to wait, you know, more to learn. Get to become more humble. He said to me, he said, you're not qualified. And he made me wait 3 years. He said, he left. And then he said, maybe next year. And then he came. He initiated others, but he didn't initiate me. Right? And then he left again. And then he said to his disciple, his servant, he said, put him on the list for next year. And the third year, then he gave me. He said, why? Because it's a big thing, serious thing. You know, so that's why we do the yajna. But with Rupa and Sanatana, it wasn't like that. It wasn't an official yajna. It says they put straw between their teeth and bound the cloth around their neck. So they're coming like, they're making out like they're animals. This is, you know, this is a great sign of dānya or humility. You know, that you show, you know, when do we see the devotee put straw in the teeth? You know, put your hands behind the back and like put straw in the teeth. Like, oh, I'm just a dumb animal. You know, this is how much humility they were showing to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I think a lot of the time we show humility, but it's more like an external thing. In English, there's a saying, it says, pride often borrows the cloak of humility. You understand? A cloak, you know, like you put on, wrap around, like say each other, a cloak like that. Pride, actually inside your proud, but humility on the outside, oh. The devotees do all this, oh, yeah. What's on the inside? Then push it a little bit, then you'll see, oh, something else comes out. Is it really humility or not? So, their humility was matched. What was on the inside was what they were showing on the outside. They were showing extreme humility, but on the inside, that's how they actually felt. You know, this is a, and prema, this is explained in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami explains that prema and dānya are synonymous. You can't have one without the other. You can't have love of God without complete humility. And you can't have actual humility unless you have love of God. You have to have both. You can't just have one or the other. They're intertwined. So humility is, for them, it's real because they have prema, they have love for Lord Chaitanya. So it's real humility they're showing. Upon seeing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the two brothers were overwhelmed with joy. And out of humility, they began to cry. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked them to get up and assured them of all good fortune. The two brothers got up and again, taking straw between their teeth, they humbly offered their prayers with folded hands. So they were overwhelmed with joy. That's the nature of bhakti. Susukam, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. It is joyfully performed. We have to learn. And, you know, sometimes we say this to the devotees, that there's not so many devotees around, like, you know, at Prana Prabhu's program yesterday, you know, so how many of the voters have been around, like, you know, that amount of time? You know, it's Prana Prabhu, Aniruddha Prabhu, Gana Samudra Bhakta, Bhakti, you know, and then Achintarupa, and then, you know, you look, and then someone's trying to ring the giving class. So how many devotees have been around a long time? And sometimes we say this to the devotees. Oh, did it cut it out? Oh, no, he's still there. Sorry about that. Someone tried to ring. So many devotees, you know, many devotees were initiated over the years. Where are they now? You know, so many moved to other places. But so many stopped practicing strictly. Most practice, many practice, but not many practice strictly. So, you know, you want to be doing that for a long time, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, 70. You want to be doing it for a long time. I saw on the internet the other day, there's one lady in England or Scotland. She is 105, still living in the same house she was born in. Same house. Well, I don't think there's anyone on the planet like that. It's probably the only one person. 105, same house. Still talking, still quite strong, you know, speaking. But yeah, I was born here, and then my parents died. I took over the house. I'm still here. So I was thinking, you know, we can learn something from Chanakya. Says you can take gold from a dirty place. From everything, we learn something. So I was thinking about her. I was thinking, that's what we should be like as devotees. I'm just a devotee for that long. You know, like Pankajangri Prabhu, Jnanivas Prabhu. They've been worshipping Radha Madhava for 50 years. You know, 50 years, you know. Seva. That's what we should be like. So sometimes devotees ask, how come there aren't more strict devotees around who've been around for a long time? How come? Because you have to get joy from the process. If you're not enjoying it, you don't stick at it. Pleasure is the driving force in everything. Anandamaya Vyasat. Right? If we're not getting pleasure, we don't do something. Why do we all come here tonight? Because we must be getting some pleasure from it. Otherwise, why do we come? Right? I come because I get pleasure from it. That's why I come. You know, there's more devotees online than in the room. That's what happened after COVID. Everyone thought, oh, wait a minute. I don't have to go to the class. I can listen. And then when COVID stopped and we came back, and then I saw devotees, they didn't come back. Most of them, like, there was 17 people online. I just checked. Yeah, 17. There's only, like, you know, like five here, but 17 are listening. Or more, maybe, you know, there's more than one or two listening at each place, but, you know. But why are the devotees doing this? Because there's some pleasure. Utsahan Nishchaya Daryat. Right? Rupa Goswami teaches, you need for bhakti to be successful, first thing you need is utsahan. Utsahan means enthusiasm. Where does enthusiasm come from? Pleasure. Just like if I tell you, like if you tell me, like, you know, come to the feast tonight, there's going to be gulab jamuns. Right? First thing I think in my mind, I think, oh, no. That's the first thing I think. I think, oh, no. That's not good for me. Because I can't control myself. It's hard for me to just eat one. I usually add 6 or 12 or something. Yeah, they had a kids' retreat at the farm. I ate like 12, something like that. Yeah, everyone else needs 1 or 2, or maybe 3 or something. I ate like 12. I can't stop myself. I know. So every time I hear, oh, good lambs, I think, oh, no. Problem. And it's now hard for me. I just lose control. I just go, keep on. Yeah, you know, one time I ate 36. Yeah, a long time ago. That was after the feast. You know, feast and then 36 kilos. Yeah, we had competitions. Yeah, we had a couple. We had a big competition one time, but I wasn't there. And Sridhar Swami won. You know Sridhar Swami? He passed away, but yeah, Sridhar, he won. I always wish I could have been there because I think I would have beaten him. I think I would have beaten him, but anyway. Would have been good. He ate like something like 30 or something, so I was like, good. Next day, after Mangalarti's up there in that room where Jagannath goes, and my friend Atul Krishnaprabhu walked in to see if Maharaj needed anything. Maharaj sitting there, Chinese Japa. I said, Maharaj, you need anything? He said, get me bitter lemon. Bitter lemon. So he went down there, 7-Eleven, brought bitter melon. Bitter lemon. You know, because bitter counteracts sweet. Because he had so much sweet in the gulabs, his body was like, oh, you know, when you eat too much sweet, your body kind of goes. They had to drink the bitter melon to counteract the sweet. So why do we do something? We do it because of pleasure. So it said when Rupa and Snat saw Lord Chaitanya, they felt so much joy. Tears were in their eyes. They were so happy. And they saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's how you stay in bhakti. If you want to stay enthusiastic for a long time, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60, you have to be like that. You have to get pleasure from bhakti. It is there. Pleasure is there. Just like before I was at St. Vasudev. And then they're having a kids program. Your daughter was there. And about six or eight girls. They all come with them. They're doing kirtan. They're only like 12 years old or something. They don't care. But they had so much taste for chanting. You know, it was really melting my heart. I was feeling, yes, this is. I said to the parents, if they keep doing this, they'll stay devoted their whole life. You know, if you get taste, if you get pleasure from that. And the parent was saying to me, oh, you know, we have to be careful. We have to keep them away from Maya. I said, no, don't be too strict on them. Let them have a little bit of both. Because if you try to be too strict, they'll rebel. They'll go the other way. Now let them have a little bit of Maya. So we all had Maya. We had lots of Maya, actually. Don't worry about a little bit. We had too much. Just let them have a little bit. You know, they do a little bit. They're not gonna, don't worry about it. They're not going to go off course. You know, as long as their main thing is Krishna consciousness, they'll always stay on that. But don't be too strict. But make sure they're getting pleasure from the process. That's how you stay devoted. If you develop taste for holy name, and I was listening to them, they were having discussion about our philosophy. These kids are scholars. You know, like your daughter and, you know, and the other kid, they're scholars. They know so much. Really, you know, they're learned. You know, they're only like 12 years old, these kids. I listen to them, I'm thinking, you know, impressive. I said to their parents that make sure they give classes. You know, when they get up, you know, 15, 16, 17, 18, make sure they're giving classes. They should be preachers, especially the girls. You know, the boys already get the opportunity. It's easier for the men. But the girls should also be doing it. They're very powerful preachers. I hear them giving class to each other, like, you know, they really know the philosophy. So you got to get pleasure in Krishna consciousness. That's where the taste comes from. Just like I like to study Prabhupada's books, you know, so I study. But then I come and do a class for the devotees. But I always think if no one comes, I'll keep doing it anyway. You know, if no one comes, it's nice devotees come. Now I've got some association. You know, with all you people on the internet, you know, nice to have your association. You know, it's better to have devotees in the room. You know, more pleasurable. But this is where we get the purification, the association. We need to associate with the devotees. That's where we get the pleasure from. So we have to do the activities which give us pleasure in Krishna consciousness. So Rupa and Sanat, as soon as they saw Lord Chaitanya, they were feeling pleasure just by seeing him. All glories to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most merciful savior of the fallen souls. All glories to the Supreme Personality. Sir, we belong to the lowest class of men, and our associates and employment are also of the lowest type. Therefore, we cannot introduce ourselves to you. We feel very much ashamed standing here before you. So, Prabhupada points out in the purport, we become who we associate with. You know, it actually says some life coaches, some famous life, they say the five people that you spend the most time with, that's who you become. So we have to choose our association carefully. Associate, especially advanced devotees. If there's advanced devotees around, associate with them. That's how you become advanced. You know, devotees associated with Prabhupada, you know, they became advanced. And then they gave us association. That's how it works. That's the system. So, there's a nice point that they felt because they're associating with the Muslims, they became contaminated, which is true. Unless you're very powerful, you will become contaminated. Unless you're very powerful, you know, like Prabhupada or Rupa Goswami, they will not become contaminated. Even, you know, externally, they may have looked like Muslim and everything, but no, their hearts were pure. But for us, we have to be very careful. Prabhupada said this. Prabhupada said that if you eat the grains cooked by the non-devotees, your mind will become wicked. I just traveled. I went on holiday, you know. I went to Italy, to Europe, right? So we didn't eat prasadam the whole time. You know, because sometimes we're traveling and, you know, you can't find, you know, prasad. You know, whenever we find prasadam, devotee restaurants, we go there, but yeah, sometimes you're on the train or something, so you just get it like a what do they call them, like croissant. Yeah, it's a vegetarian, but it's not prasad. So I ate like that, you know. I wasn't eating prasad the whole time, but I felt in my mind, I felt some change. Yeah, the mind changes. Yeah, because we're not like Prabhupada, we're not like pure devotees. Yeah. Cornflakes or whatever the cereals are, biscuits. Yeah. I see devotees eat things. Not everyone eats prasad all the time. But these things will affect your consciousness. That's why, as much as possible, you just eat prasad as much as possible, because then your consciousness stays purified. Unless you're very advanced, like Prabhupada. And then nothing. Prabhupada actually said, for a devotee like him, everything is prasad. Whatever you eat, that is prasad. So, Prabhupada, one time he brought kachoris from the train station. He was just traveling through some train station, you know, out in the middle of India somewhere. He said to Samal Krishnaraj, oh, kachori, because Prabhupada liked kachori. He said, go and get kachori. So he got kachori and brought for Prabhupada, and Prabhupada eating kachori. Trainers. And Samal Krishnaraj said, Prabhupada, that guy is not even a devotee. We don't even know who the guy is. Prabhupada said, if you pay for it and they're cooking it in front of you, it's hot. He said, you pay for it, that purifies it of the karma. It's not prasad, but, you know, Prabhupada saw that. And Prabhupada said, for a devotee, everything is prasad. That's his level. But for our level, we have to be very careful. Just take prasad. Much easier. So. Otherwise, your mind becomes wicked. If you have the person cooking, their thoughts go into your thought, and then suddenly, I noticed when I was traveling, I wasn't eating prasad the other time. Sometimes I'm thinking, I'm thinking differently. You have to be careful. So. So I got back here and taking lots of prasad. That's good. Purifies the consciousness. It's very important. Dear Lord, let us inform you that no one is more sinful than us, nor is there any offender like us, even if we wanted to mention our sinful activities, we would immediately become ashamed and want to speak of giving them up. The two brothers submitted, "Dear Lord, you have incarnated to deliver the fallen souls. You should consider that in this world, there is none so fallen as us." So this is an important philosophical point in our tradition. The more humble you are, the more mercy you'll receive. Lord Chaitanya is the most merciful incarnation, except for Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Now, Lord Chaitanya is Mahavananya, right? The most merciful. But we have to become genuinely humble. Purujan Prabhu was saying this one time. He was giving a class. He said, when will the act finish? You know, we act like we're humble and we are, but when will we just become actually humble? We will become actually devoted. You know, when will all this deeply come within us? You know, we have to really purify our consciousness. Because when you are genuinely humble, you receive so much mercy from Lord Chaitanya. We have to be genuinely humble to receive that mercy. You have delivered the two brothers, Jagai and Madhai. But to deliver them, you did not have to exert yourself very much. The brothers Jagai and Madhai belong to the Brahmanas, to the Brahmana caste, and their residence was in the holy place of Navadvip. They never served low-class persons, nor were they instruments to abominable activities. Jagai and Madhai had but one fault. They were addicted to sinful activity. However, volumes of sinful activity can be burned to ashes simply by a dim reflection of the chanting of your holy name. This is called Namabhas. We've discussed this. It's a deep discussion, actually. There's Nam, Aparad, Namabhas, and Shuddha Nam. Namabhas means you're not chanting purely, but the holy name is beginning to manifest. So just when someone chants like that, something happens in their consciousness. Like every day, people walk past, they say, oh, there's the Hare Krishna temple. They chant it without offense. That purifies their consciousness. That's why we do Hare Nam Sankirtan. That's why we go on the streets, we chant. Why? Because when people hear the chanting, they see it, and they also chant in their mind or verbally, they're becoming purified. That's called Namabhas. Very powerful. So the system is that we have to become twice born. Twice born means first birth is from the biological parents, but second birth is more important. Second birth is actually the real birth. Guru is the father. Vedas are the mother. That's the second birth. Gayatri Mantra is the mother. My guru is the father. That is the second birth. That is the most important. So they receive that diksha from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jagai and Madhai uttered your holy name by way of blaspheming you. Fortunately, that holy name became the cause of their deliverance. We too are millions and millions of times inferior to Jagai and Madhai. We are more degraded, fallen, and sinful than they. Actually, we belong to the caste of meat eaters because we are servants of meat eaters. Indeed, our activities are exactly like those of the meat eaters. Because we always associate with such people, we are inimical toward the cows and Brahmanas. So Prabhupada explains in the purport that if the Brahmanas and the cows are neglected, then there will never be peace. That's what we're saying now. you know, this whole war in Ukraine, it's all because of that. The Ukrainian people eat a lot of beef, a lot, you know, and then they wonder why now all the bombs are coming and all that. It's Prabhupada said that's what all the wars are. You kill the cow, and then suddenly the war comes. It will come. And Australia is, you know, like fourth biggest in the world for killing the cows. So it will come. Now it's peaceful. But one day it will come. Reactions will come. The two brothers, Sakara Malik and Dabir Kass, very humbly submitted that due to their abominable activities, they were now bound by the work and hands and had been thrown into a ditch filled with abominable stool-like objects of material sense enjoyment. Prabhupada explains in the purport that if someone takes a vow to stay in this material world to enjoy sense gratification, even Krishna can't deliver them. That's why we have to follow the four regulative principles. No meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling. We have to follow those things because that will make us qualified to go back to the spiritual world. If we're too much absorbed in those activities, then you'll take birth in this material world. You can't go back to the spiritual world. And you see so many people, they're just attached to sense gratification. They can't. That's why they can't become devotees. Why aren't more people joining? One of two reasons. They're either Mayavadis, right? So Gyan, or Karma, which is sense gratification. The two attached to sense gratification or philosophical speculation. And if you're too attached to either of those two, you can't take to bhakti. If there's too much Gyan or too much Karma, you can't take to bhakti. That's why not many people are joining. Because they're too attached to enjoying in this world. Or they've got some strange philosophy. Mayavad philosophy. Lord Chaitanya says, if you even see a Mayavad, you have to jump into the Yarra River. To the Ganga. But some devotees put Ganges water in the Yarra, so maybe it's Ganga now. No one within the three worlds is sufficiently powerful to deliver us. You are the only savior of the fallen souls. Therefore, there is no one but you. If you simply deliver us by your transcendental strength, then certainly your name will be known as Patitapavan, the savior of the fallen souls. Let us speak one word that is very true. Plainly hear us. O merciful one, there is no other object of mercy within the three worlds, but us. We are the most fallen. Therefore, by showing us your mercy is most successful. Let the power of your mercy be exhibited throughout the entire universe. Lord Chaitanya is non-different from Krishna. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. Right, Lord Chaitanya is, and who is Krishna? Krishna is all attractive. Therefore, if we become attracted to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Lord Krishna, that attraction will take us out of this material world. Madan Mohan, he will destroy your attraction to lust in this material world, but you have to become attracted to him. Let us submit one piece of information before you, dear Lord. It is not at all false, but is full of meaning. It is this. If you are not merciful upon us, then it will be very, very difficult to find more suitable candidates for your mercy. We are very depressed at being unfit candidates for your mercy. Yet, since we have heard of your transcendental qualities, we are very much attracted to you. Indeed, we are like a dwarf who wants to capture the moon. Although we are completely unfit, a desire to receive your mercy is awakening within our minds. By serving you constantly, One is freed from all material desires and is completely pacified. When shall I engage as your permanent eternal servant and always feel joyful to have such a fitting master? So basically, this verse summarizes our philosophy. If we constantly serve Krishna, then we will become free from material attachment. So Prabhupada said to Tamal Krishnamaraj one time, he said, just one lifetime, give your life in service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just one lifetime, this lifetime. We should just serve Lord Chaitanya. And then Prabhupada said, whatever you are lacking at the time of death, Lord Chaitanya will cover that. He will take you back to Godhead. But we just have to give one life in service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. We'll see you tomorrow night. We'll continue. Hare Krishna. Thank you all for coming.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you.
All glories to the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
All glories to the assembled devotees.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. All glories to Shishi Guru Garanga. Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna.
Oh, you tried to ring me.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.